We have to get on our own resources in America. If we do, we can cut out 60% of OPEC oil.
Oil, natural gas, wind, water, solar, nuclear.
Industries of energy.
We've got fantastic opportunities to use new technologies to secure the American people and at the same time be better stewards of the environment.
You have questions. We have answers.
Listen carefully.
You can't really be against hydrofracking and say you're an environmentalist because immediately the default options are fuels that are much less clean.
For the next hour, Sean Wilson and Butch Black explore the energy industry with news and interviews from around the corner and around the globe.
Nuclear is one of the directions that we should innovate in.
The Exploring Energy Show begins now.
And it is now a very, very good Thursday morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. Sean Wilson, Butch Black, our host of sponsors. It is the Exploring Energy Radio Show here on 96.5 KECO. And here's what's on the menu at Elk City Meals on Wheels today, May 12th. Remember, you can call in your order at 225-5821. They're located at 1510 West 9th Street. The dining room's open. Everyone is welcome. Great place to sit down and eat. And like I said, you're not going to find a cheaper, more nutritious meal in town. $6 for anybody, except for senior citizens, $5. Those prices include the dessert and the drink. Everyone is welcome again. They're open from 11 to 1, Monday through Friday. Here's what's on the menu. Ham and beans. Home fries, spinach, cornbread, and Jell-O. Always room for Jell-O. Ham and beans, home fries, spinach, cornbread, and Jell-O. That's what's on the menu today at Elk City Meals on Wheels. Let's get behind and support that wonderful program. Butch Black, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm here.
You are here. I can confirm that.
I'm here. Let's see.
Beyond that, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Other than that, we don't know about anything. Let's see what we got here right now. As of 8:06 this morning,
okay.
WTI crude on the NYMEX June exchange is down $1.64 to $104.07. Brent crude on the ICE July exchange is down $1.82 to $105.69. NYMEX natural gas on the June exchange is down 17 cents to $7.47. Unfortunately, RBOB gasoline on the NYMEX June exchange is up $2.85 to $3.7140. NYMEX heating oil on the June exchange is down $9.30 to $3.8582. Strange happenings over the last few days.
Strange happenings. Yeah, yesterday I talked a little bit about gasoline prices. Well, how about diesel fuel? Yikes. Diesel fuel costs in Oklahoma continue to increase, reaching a new statewide average this week of $5.28 a gallon. The average is still cheaper than the national average of $5.55 a gallon of diesel. AAA reported Wednesday the new average was 2 cents more than a week ago. A year ago, the statewide average for diesel was $2.91 a gallon. Prices in Oklahoma averaged $5.27 this week, up 5 cents from a week ago. While 1 year ago, the average of diesel fuel was $2.86 a gallon. In Tulsa, the average price of a gallon of diesel fuel is $5.30 a gallon, a drop of 7 cents from a week earlier. A year ago, it cost an average of $2.95 a gallon. In the Tulsa area, truckers on the heavily traveled Interstate 40 won't find much relief either on either end of the state, and say our prices range from $5.27 to $5.35 a gallon. In Salisaw, on the state line with Arkansas, the average was about $5.38 on Wednesday, 9 cents higher than a week ago. Nationwide prices rose 13 cents in the past week, reaching the new average of $5.55 a gallon. A year ago, truckers paid an average of $3.12. So, yeah, diesel fuel's in high demand.
Yeah, diesel fuel's in high demand. It's getting higher and higher, and unfortunately, anything that's delivered by truck, rail, boat,
going to be turned, yeah, it's going to
goes
be,
up,
yeah,
because of that cost. Well, and the U.S. oil output is it slips as higher costs hit the drillers. Yeah, weekly U.S. crude oil production declined for the first time in 3 months, signaling that soaring costs across the oil fields may be preventing drillers from expanding output. The decline hits as the oil consuming nations are scrambling for additional supplies to reduce reliance on Russia and bring down the skyrocketing crude prices. Biden has urged the industry to raise supply to help battle historically high fuel inflation. Why? Because it's all Putin's fault and COVID's fault, and I didn't do anything wrong. Domestic crude output last week fell 100,000 barrels to 11.8 million barrels a day after holding steady for the previous 3 weeks. According to data from the Energy Information Administration, the decline stems from a small drop in Alaskan volumes. Output from the rest of the U.S., including prolific Permian shale basin, held steady. In its short-term energy outlook report this week, the EIA lowered all its production forecasts through 2003. Drillers have said that they are experiencing spiraling prices on everything from rigs and workers to diesel fuel and frac sand. Plus the fact we're not selling any permits. We're not going to allow any permits in Alaska, so I wonder why it's dropping.
Yeah. Yeah, and President Brandon, he's still at it. But that, like you said, those leases in Alaska, I think he pulled the plug on 1 million acres. Isn't that what you heard? Like I said, it's just one of those deals like, how in the world? Well, it's been 3 years since the two window washers had to be rescued from the Devon Energy Tower.
Oh, yeah.
Downtown Oklahoma City, I think we all remember watching that fiasco after their lift fell out of control in strong winds. Well, according to this story, the window washing company is being sued by the insurance company that has the policy on the Devon building. And I was thinking...
Why?
Yeah, okay, well, I'll tell you why. Because OSHA regulations. Just kind of give you your mind. Standing 850 feet high and 50 stories, the global headquarters for Devon Energy is considered the tallest building in the city and the state. Two workers were on the window washing lift on May 15, 2019, when it became loose and started swinging out of control. And the lawsuit, brought by affiliated FM Insurance Company, alleges the workers violated OSHA policy by operating equipment during winds in excess of 38 miles per hour. OSHA policy dictates the platform shall not be operated in winds in excess of 25 miles per hour, except to move it from an operating to a storage position. Wind speed shall be determined based on the best available information, which includes on-site anemometer readings and local wind forecasts, which predict wind velocities for the area.
So, in other words, Devon Tower never gets its windows washed.
Well, that's probably about
never.
The way. But anyway, it did say that the winds were in excess of 32 miles an hour that day. I wouldn't want to be out on one of those things up on the side of one of those buildings.
But were the winds in excess of 32 before they got out there or after? We know in Oklahoma the wind can change in a matter of seconds.
That's probably what this lawsuit, why it's still in court, is, you know, what's the definitive answer?
Yeah.
You know, was it at 22 miles an hour when they got on the platform and then whoosh, here comes a big gust?
We know from experience that winds can change here in Oklahoma in a matter of seconds.
Yeah. You know, and speaking of that, just that little storm that blew through here night before last, you know, my wife and I were like, oh, okay. They're saying it's going to be, you know, going to have a little wind gust. So she's like, hey, go outside, go out front, check my flower pots, see if we need to move those. And I mean, I had just walked outside just when that gust hit. And it like to blew my little short fat butt over. I mean, it was a blast of wind. And it wasn't like,
it had to be.
Here, you ain't kidding, Daddy. And I mean, I wasn't even standing sideways. This was full frontal. But yeah, I'd come back in and my wife's like, what happened? I said, I about got blown off my feet first time. But anyway, so that wind can, you're right. It can gussy up in a hurry.
Yeah, it doesn't take it long. It really, really doesn't. And, you know, it can change.
No one was hurt in that incident,
yeah.
Too.
I mean, those guys were fortunate because if you ever saw the video of it.
Oh, dude.
Man, I would have been tying myself to something.
You know, and even the first responders got up there and like, oh, scratched your head, like, okay.
Yeah, what do we do?
Yeah, because, I mean, that thing was swinging so violently that just getting hit by the platform would have knocked
you down. Breaking windows
and yeah.
Just all kinds of mess. Ooh, yeah, it wasn't good.
Anyway, so we are going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of the Thursday edition of the Exploring Energy Radio Show right after this.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean and Butch.
When tobacco cravings attack, take your game to the next level with the Oklahoma Tobacco Helpline. For a limited time, get an extra boost with 8 weeks of free patches, gum, or lozenges. Join forces with a trained quit coach. Stay on mission with supportive texts and email. The battle against nicotine addiction is an epic quest. But with the Oklahoma Tobacco Helpline, it's game over for tobacco. Gear up at okhelpline.com or call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A program of TSET.
Imagine extreme. And May brings extreme to Cummins in Weatherford, where you'll find extreme quality and extreme savings on 2022 GMCs, like the new 2022 CR1500 and the new 2022 Yukon Denali. And don't miss the new 2022 GMC Sierra with Super Cruise hands-free driver technology. Now that's extreme, and you don't want to miss out. It's unimaginable. Cummins Cadillac Chevrolet Buick GMC in Weatherford, just off I-40 and Airport Road, and online at CumminsBPG.com. GMC, we are professional grade. Dealer for details.
If they call me, they're expecting me to get whatever task done. To a farmer, a tractor, combine, gets him up and running. He's back in the field, makes some money. Guy in the oil field, their piece of equipment's running again. That makes some money. Solves that problem. I'm Brock Kalk, and my company is American Hose and Supply. We sell all types of industrial hose and fittings, oil field or agriculture. So if your farmer need a hose built, you can come in, we'll build it. You're a oil field customer and need us to come out and see you, we'll come out and see you and take an order or pick up a hose, build it, bring it back to you. If we're competitive on price, we say we'll bring it to you, we'll do whatever it takes to get it to you, make life easier on you, or you can call us to solve a problem. Hey, can you get this? Why wouldn't you? My company is American Hose and Supply. Come by and see us at 2111 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma, in Camrock Building next to Fred's, or call me at 580-821-4413. 821-4413.
Hey parents, spring is here, and that means prom, spring sports, finals, and graduation are just around the corner. With all these once-in-a-lifetime memories coming up, I mean, who would want to miss out on all the fun? No teen wants to be sick this spring, so make the healthy choice and keep your kids at home if they're not feeling well. That way, everyone stays healthy, and your kids and their friends won't miss out on making memories this year. Learn more at oklahoma.gov/health. Brought to you by the Oklahoma State Department of Health.
Sean Wilson and Butch Black with the Exploring Energy Show return now.
That'd be us, and you'd be you. Thank you for being here. Bird Equipment, they're hiring welders, pipe fitters for both their Burns Flat and Noble, Oklahoma facilities. They got immediate openings for pipe fitters and pressure vessel and pipe code, non-code welders. Starting pay is between $15 to $22 an hour based on experience. Bird Equipment offers health insurance, vision, and dental. Also have paid vacation, 401k. Apply in person at the Bird Equipment Office, 701 Dispensary Road in Burns Flat. Call 580-562-3124 for details. Go join the Busy Bird Equipment team. Bird Equipment is an equal opportunity employer. Busy Bird, like it. David A. Guest, Certified Mineral Manager, buyer of royalties from estates, bankruptcies, trusts, probates. Trusted source for mineral management with well over 35 years in the business. David A. Guest is going to treat you fairly and treat you squarely. David is ready for your call today. 405-341-8698. 405-341-8698. One of our great sponsors of the Exploring Energy Radio Show. All right, Butch, what do you got for us?
Well, the Energy Workforce and Technology Council honored Senator James Inhofe with the Champion of American Energy Award for his relentless and uncompromising commitment to the oilfield services industry and the domestic energy sector. Energy Workforce presented the award to Senator Inhofe during its annual fly-in to Washington, D.C., where council members were able to hear from and meet the policymakers and members of Congress. According to Leslie Beyer, who is the CEO of Energy Workforce and Technology Council, Senator Inhofe is a champion for the domestic energy industry and a staunch supporter of the men and women in oilfield services. His work in the Senate to provide regulatory certainty led to American energy independence and lifted our domestic energy production to becoming gross energy exporters. It is an honor to recognize him for his many accomplishments supporting the industry and our workforce. Senator Inhofe serves as ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee and is also a senior member of the Environment and Public Works Committee and the Small Business Committee. During his time in the Senate, Senator Inhofe has championed policies that encourage the U.S. to meet its energy needs domestically and has worked tirelessly to cut unnecessary and burdensome regulations imposed on the oil and gas industry. In 1999, Inhofe introduced a bill to give states the freedom to make their own decisions about oil and natural gas regulatory structures, including those concerning hydraulic fracturing. The bill was incorporated in the Energy Policy Act of 2005 and provided the regulatory certainty necessary for the shale boom to establish the United States as a global leader in oil and gas production. Senator Inhofe says, "I am incredibly honored to receive the Champion of American Energy Award from the Energy Workforce and Technology Council. For years, the war on fossil fuels has raged on. We saw great progress toward energy independence under the Trump administration, but Biden's consistently anti-domestic energy agenda has hamstrung the American economy, all while giving the world's biggest polluters, like China, a free pass. Despite having an administration that is actively undermining our domestic energy development, I have fought back against their indefensible policies like rejoining America into the radical, job-killing Paris Climate Agreement and their proposed new unprecedented taxes on the oil and gas sector. I'm also fighting for the approval of the Keystone XL pipeline and reducing the red tape preventing production here at home. I'm proud to have organizations like the Energy Workforce and Technology Council by my side as we work towards unleashing America's energy independence. Let's keep up the fight."
Yeah.
So, one of our own.
There you go. I came across this report out of the Fed, the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. Okay, and basically it says, don't look to oil companies to lower high retail gasoline prices.
No.
The rise of the U.S. retail gasoline prices in March of this year has triggered a debate on whether U.S. oil companies are doing enough to rein in high gasoline prices, whether these companies should be held accountable for not increasing the production of crude oil. And this was Joe Biden, Brandon, pardon me, I almost said his real name. Joe Brandon's take. The first thing he says, hey, look at the oil companies, man. Come on.
Yeah,
come
the oil on. Companies, Putin,
yeah,
COVID.
That, everything.
Anyway. I didn't do this, although the sticker on the pump tells the truth.
As this this Fed report shows, taking a closer look at the premises underlying this debate, they show that even though the price of oil makes up over half of the retail price of gasoline, oil companies play an extremely limited role in how retail gasoline prices are set. While U.S. retail gasoline prices in many regions have remained stubbornly high since March, the situation reflects frictions in the retail gasoline market rather than the supply of oil or the price of oil. They discuss why in many regions the pump prices have not fallen as quickly as oil prices have recently and explain why this asymmetry needs not be an indication of price gouging. A lot of people were talking about that. Finally, they examine in this report the obstacles to substantially increase U.S. oil production. They make the case that even under the most favorable circumstances, higher production growth is unlikely to materially lower global oil prices and thus U.S. retail gasoline prices in the foreseeable future. So this gasoline retailing involves a complex supply chain. Okay. Mm-hmm. Before a gallon of gasoline is pumped into a car's tank, it has traveled through a complex supply chain. Independent oil and gas companies, those without refining assets, are responsible for 83% of U.S. oil production, about half of the oil consumed in this country. Oil is sold in competitive markets at prices reflecting global supply and demand. It is refined into gasoline, diesel, and other fuels whose prices are similarly set at competitive markets. Fuels are then sent to more than 400 U.S. distribution facilities, okay? All righty. From which they are sold and delivered to retailers and end users at another price depending on local conditions. Gas station operators set retail prices based on their expected acquisition cost for the next delivery of fuel from the local distributor. Federal and state tax rates and markup that covers operating expenses such as rent, delivery charges, and credit card fees and such. Since only 1% of service stations in the United States are owned by companies that also produce oil, now pay attention to that, Only 1% of service stations in the U.S. are owned by companies that also produce oil. U.S. oil producers are in no position to control retail gasoline prices. Kind of how it's broken down. The cost of oil feeds into the gasoline prices like this. The price of oil constitutes a 59% of the retail price of gasoline as of March 2022, according to the Energy Information Administration. The fact is important for understanding the transmission of oil prices shocked to retail gasoline prices. So 59%, that's 49% for diesel. So there are a little bit of disparities between the two because it's a different refining process. 18% of gasoline prices are about the refining cost, 23% on diesel, 23%. Distribution and marketing, 12% on gasoline, 18% on diesel. And then taxes, 12% on gasoline, 11% on diesel. So that's kind of how a gallon of gas is broken down. So gasoline show decline from price peak, not a sign of price gouging. Much has been made of the fact that gasoline prices were quick to increase following the Russian invasion of Ukraine, but have not come down as quickly as the price of crude oil since then. Given the crude oil accounts for 59% of the gasoline that we just talked about, 34% increase in the price of oil should imply a 20% increase in the retail gas price. Likewise, a 22% decline in the price of oil should translate into a 13% decline at the pump price. However, that didn't happen on the national level. The spot price of gasoline, that's the price of gasoline at the refinery gate, has proxied by the prompt contract for New York Mercantile Exchange, RBOB Gasoline. We talk about that each day. Generally rose and fell with the price of West Texas Intermediate crude oil, the American benchmark. However, the response of U.S. pump prices has been highly asymmetric. While the price of retail gasoline cumulatively rose as much as expected following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, recent national retail gasoline prices dropped only 6% from the March peak, far less than the expected 13%. This indicates that retail gasoline prices remained persistently high was not the result of oil shortage or high oil prices. Rather, the elevated retail gasoline prices must be attributed to events in the U.S. retail gasoline market beyond the control of oil producers. So, you know, it's up like a rocket, down like a feather kind of thing. Yeah. But I came across this and I thought it was very interesting how they broke down the percentages of what the actual price of oil has on a gallon of gasoline, because you do have the refining, you do have the marketing, the credit card fees, the whole shebang, plus the taxes up on top of it. And so I just thought it was very interesting. But even the Federal Reserve Bank out of Dallas is understanding it's not price gouging, and it's not the oil and gas companies that are making high gasoline prices, but they want to deflect what the mainstream media wants you to believe. Last night, the big deal on CBS News, when I could force myself to watch it for just a little bit because I wanted to just see their rhetoric, the big headline that stayed on the screen, inflation slows for the first time in months.
Where?
It just said it slows. Didn't say it didn't keep going up. It's just slowly rising now as opposed to jumping up leaps and bounds. So the only thing they can really hang their hat on right now is there was a slowing in the rising of inflation. It's still rising. It's just started to slow down a little bit. So, woo-hoo! How about that president?
Yeah. Well, and how about the fact that he's going to blame me? He's not going to take any responsibility for any of his actions on this.
Right.
And stand there and lie to the American people about what causes it. And
it's deflection,
I mean,
man.
I understand. Right. And what I like about this story, too, is the fact that 1% own their own service stations, their own gasoline pumps. And because we're used to the old Standard Oil, Gulf, and all those who years ago when the oil and gas industry first started, when it was just starting to boom, majors did own their own gas station. Well, they had a part in them.
Right. Right.
But anyway, that has all gone by the wayside because they've got too much to do, too many things to do to try to keep up with what's going on sales. And the reason gasoline is still high has nothing to do with oil as so much oil output as the fact that the demand is overshot what they can refine and get out.
That's
so
it.
The supply is dropping because it's burning faster than they can make it, because we do have a huge refinery that is in maintenance process right now, which means it's shut down. We haven't had a new refinery built in the continental United States since the 1970s.
I was going to say, it's been a long time.
You know, and I get tickled because the American people jump up and down, well, we need to build refineries, but don't do it in my backyard.
Yeah. Where are you gonna
we don't want it here.
That's it.
And that's what we've run into, and it's the same way with nuclear reactors. We all want the energy from it. We all want it, but we don't want it
not
here.
In our backyard. Yeah, exactly.
And, of course, we've seen the horror stories, the news stories of old refineries and, the you know, they're having to mitigate the land and everything else. Yeah. It's a,
and years ago, but
there wasn't restrictions on this
stuff. There wasn't regulations. I mean, it wasn't the same as it is now.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that change has been good.
Yes, it has.
It's not a bad thing. I'm just saying it's different.
It's a pain when you're not used to it, but it is a good thing.
We're going to take a quick break and be back with the second half of the Exploring Energy Radio Show right after this.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean Wilson and Butch Black.
It's easier to finance a vehicle purchase at a local bank.
We have customers that come to us because they want to stay local. They want to bank here, and if they have an issue or want to adjust something, it's easy to walk in the door, talk to one person and get it done instead of on the phone or over the internet trying to refinance your loan or sell a vehicle, get a lien release. It's just a little more clean cut to deal locally when you're dealing with automobile loans. I'm Utah Robinson, and I help make the difference. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's a wonderful place to work, and it becomes your family. We're just very proud. We're proud of our institution. We're proud of our coworkers. We have great management. We're very proud that our bank is over 100 years old and has been owned by the same family the entire time. When it's board meeting time, we see that family. We see those board members. It does a lot to know that, hey, we're still going to be here 100 years from now. I'm Tammy DeGarmo, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Could you use up to $7,500 to jumpstart your future? The people of Oklahoma Oil and Natural Gas are looking for the next generation of game changers who will find new and more efficient ways to produce the energy that fuels our life. That's why they're providing scholarships to students interested in pursuing a degree in the oil and natural gas industry. They need your energy. If you want to be the future of energy, visit oerb.com/scholarships to apply today.
Our first house had one bedroom, and we ate at a little table in the corner of the living room. Then we had a baby girl, moved into a duplex. At supper time, we'd sit around a bar attached to the kitchen. Then we bought a house with more space. But the thing that made me feel like a grown-up with a real home was the dining table we bought. We could finally sit down together around our own table at supper time like families are supposed to do. For the next 19 years, we ate a lot of meals at that table. And we added more kids. They used the table to color pictures and do their homework. We paid bills at that table, used it to fold laundry, and we drank a lot of coffee there. Now we have a larger home and 4 kids, so we're getting a bigger table. It's beautiful, and it's got 6 chairs. Terry's Furniture has already helped us spend a lot of time together eating and coloring pictures and living. We'll keep doing this with our new table from Terry's. Our family around our own table. Terry's Furniture Showroom, behind McDonald's in Elk City. Online at terrysfurnitureshowroom.com.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean and Butch.
The Exploding Energy Show.
Speaking of that, DCP Services, they offer fully insured contract pumpers, roustabout services, including backhoes, tractors, forklifts, mowing, trenching. Their field techs have over 85 years of combined experience. That's just Butch Black.
Yeah, doesn't count anybody else.
They rebuild Chemray valves and controls, rebuild Western Chemical pumps to like new. They bake them, not dip them. And they sell and repair Texam solar pumps and other solar pumps as well. Their wireline division, they got both braided slick line capabilities and people that know how to run them. For pumping, roustabout, or wireline, call Jeff Davis at 580-660-0501 or Butch Black, 580-303-1886. Since all the major supply stores have all been pulled out of this area, DCP has a full-service supply store for pipe, valves, and fittings. Geared toward pipeline processing and production, located at 317 North Van Buren here in Elk City. Call, Ernie Barker, 580-339-1773. And I meant old, like O-L-E, not old.
Yeah.
Ernie Barker, 580-339-1773, DCP Supply. Okay, do you think?
The Biden administration scrapping planned auctions of drilling rights in the Gulf of Mexico and Alaska's Cook Inlet.
Yeah, that's out of that over 1 million acre deal, I think.
Yeah, a move that deepens uncertainty over the future of U.S. government's offshore oil leasing program. The Interior Department said in an emailed statement, it will not move forward with two Gulf lease auctions that were planned under former President Barack Obama as a result of delays due to factors including conflicting court rulings that impacted work on these proposed sales. A separate sale of tracts in Alaska's Cook Inlet, originally slated to occur last year, is being canceled due to a lack of industry interest in leasing the area, the department said. Well, I don't believe them, but the decisions come amid surging gasoline prices and strained oil supplies that have prompted the Biden administration officials to implore energy companies to boost production. We're begging you to do it, but we're going to cut the way you can do it. Makes real sense. Although new offshore leases can take years to bring online, oil industry executives say auctions are necessary to replenish reserves and offset natural declines from existing wells in the Gulf of Mexico. The Interior Department did not say when it would next sell drilling rights in U.S. coastal waters, nor finish developing a new five-year plan necessary to hold those auctions after July 1st. It just goes on and on about in rhetoric about what all they have to do. Well, do your job.
Yeah. That's it. Why not just do that?
Because they're too busy trying to stop it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, a push to regulate companies on social policies forges ahead in the Oklahoma Capitol. I don't know if you're aware of this, but as some of the more controversial bills have passed through this session, many lawmakers are now looking towards companies with the same values. While many legislators run on pro-business and pro-small government platforms, some are also passing bills to restrict certain businesses. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are addressing whether these regulations are essential to protect industries, if this is a tiptoeing towards government overreach. It's questions you wouldn't typically think to ask a company you're doing business with. What's your stance on abortion or gun control? But some lawmakers are making sure the state of Oklahoma only does business with companies that have certain values. Senator Mark Allen, Republican Spiro, is a sponsor of the Energy Discrimination Elimination Act. I'll say it again. Energy Discrimination Elimination Act. A bill that prohibits the state from signing a contract with a company that's actively boycotting the oil and gas industry. We've talked about it. Other states like Texas have already taken steps in this direction. Oil and gas is a main provider into our general revenue fund. And so I don't see why Oklahoma should invest funds with entities that are boycotting oil and gas and actually trying to put the oil and gas industry out of business, according to Senator Allen. The regulation of outside businesses raises a red flag for Senator Julia Kurt, Democrat, Oklahoma City. We're asking businesses to have a policy. We're asking them to have a specific values-based policy, Senator Kurt said. That's when we start really getting into the weeds of how they operate and who they are as business. There's a few other bills regulating social policies of companies this session. The business values span from support of a firearm industry to not allowing a company or organization to add a woman getting an abortion. Businesses should be concerned, Senator Kurt said, because I think it would imply their benefits that they provide, and I think it could impact a lot of things. The impact of these bills has been criticized by using big government to protect essential industries, but some lawmakers aren't afraid to cross that line. I've heard that term slippery slope used quite a bit with this regulation, but the slippery slope is doing away with oil and gas business in Oklahoma, according to Senator Allen. The oil and gas legislation should reach beyond domestic policies. Earlier in this session in debate, Representative Andy Fugit, also a Democrat from OKC, mentioned his concern that if a company boycotts Russian oil and gas, and as a response to the tragic events in Ukraine, that company would not be able to do business with the state of Oklahoma. What an idiot. I had to add that part. That wasn't in the story. But they can twist this narrative however they want to. But personally, I think it's our right as a state to decide who we do business with based on that company's policies. You know, I guarantee it, if a company was killing babies in Asia and wanted to do business with Oklahoma, we shouldn't do business with that company because they're killing babies in Asia, for crying out loud. So I think it needs to be put in place. If, you know, I'm not saying that we're going to kill their business, but you know what? We don't need to do business with you. That's our right.
That's a part of the free market.
That's it.
You choose who you do business with. You know, when I go to buy groceries, I choose where I'm going to go and who I'm going to spend my money with.
You betcha you do.
And why can't the state have that same right?
They should. They should. And we should protect our interests as a state. If a company is anti what our state provides.
Sure.
I mean, it'd be like doing business with an anti-agricultural company.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, same there. Yeah, some,
these people are killing corn. I mean, you know, good gravy.
Well, unfortunately, there are people out there that are like that.
They're
starting to take up plants' rights now because it's a living thing, and it's like
you don't want to hurt that plant's feelings. Oh, brother.
Well, as for your, I think I may have found part of where your inflation is growing less rapidly.
The slowing of inflation.
Prices at the wholesale level accelerated further in April, part of a broader inflation problem persisting through the U.S. economy, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported Thursday. The Producer Price Index, which tracks how much manufacturers get for products at their initial sale, rose 0.5% on the month and 11% from a year ago, a decrease from the record of 11.5%.
Oh.
So now it's down 0.5%. Now, this is excluding food, energy, and trade services. The core producer price index rose 0.6% in April and 6.9% from a year ago. The latter had declined from 7.1% last month. But monthly increases were exactly in line with Dow Jones estimates. Those numbers came the day after the BLS reported that consumer prices for goods and services in the marketplace rose 8.3% from a year ago, down from 8.5% in March, but still indicative of the worst inflation the U.S. has seen since the early 1980s. So what they're saying basically is last month it was horrible, but we're down 0.5% this month. Well, I got news for you. There's less product on the shelves, for one thing. We've seen that, especially in the baby formula and stuff. And people aren't. They're just not buying as much.
Right.
Because it's gotten so expensive.
That's it.
This has nothing to do with anything the administration's done or any of that. It is, I mean, so they say it's rising as rapidly.
They're looking at anything. I mean, it's still raising. It's just slowing down.
Yeah, it's just not raising as fast as it did last month. Well,
ridiculous. Well, the April General Revenue Fund deposits hit $1 billion mark here in the state of Oklahoma from the McCarville Report. General Revenue Fund collections in April totaled $1,162,000,000, which is $282.7 million, or 32.1% above the monthly estimate. This is $426 million, or 57.9% above collections in April of 2021. Total gross revenue collections through the first 10 months of fiscal year 2022 were $6.9 billion, which is $1.4 billion, or 24% above the estimate, that is $1.4 billion above the prior year collections for the same period. This is the first year since 2019 that we've returned to the standard April income tax filing deadline of April 15th. That played a large role in the monthly collections topping $1 billion for the first time in history. Stephen Harp, Oklahoma Chief Operating Officer and the OMES Executive Director. While this is encouraging for Oklahoma, we still must be mindful of market volatility that could impact state revenue. So don't spend like there's no tomorrow. A state government's main operating fund, the GRF, is the key indicator of state government fiscal status and the predomination of the funding source for the annual appropriated state budget. So, $1 billion mark in 1 month. Pretty big.
Well, you know, we talked about Senator James Inhofe winning an award. There was also a Texas congressman who won the same award. That was Kevin Brady.
Okay.
They're out of Texas, so I want to bring that out, too, because I know we got listeners in the Texas area. And,
absolutely.
And, you know, it's not far-reached to understand that anybody that's receiving this award is in the heart of the oil and gas industry.
Right, yeah.
You know, they're right in the middle of it. But so
yeah, we're not too far from the old primaries either. So
yeah,
be
primaries
mindful.
Are just next month.
Be mindful of, do your research, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with the mop-up segment, energy news and my briefs, and more as we continue our coverage right after this.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean Wilson and Butch Black.
You go to a restaurant in Oklahoma City and you order a steak and it's $60. You're not guaranteed that that's going to be the best steak you've ever had. Whether they cook it wrong, whether the meat wasn't as good, you get this steak that's been in your freezer that you know everything about, where it was raised. You put it on the grill yourself. You cook it to your perfection. The quality of meat's going to be better. The taste is going to be better. You see customers, and they'll just, in passing, they're like, we had a roast last night, and it's the best roast we've ever had. Or you know, we had steaks, and they were phenomenal. If you can just find your supplier locally, the beef is born on his place, raised on his place, fed out on his place, and used a local butcher, you're going to see a difference in quality and taste compared to your local grocery store stuff that you're going to be purchasing. I'm Ty Ford. My family and I run the TF Ranch west of Elk City. If you want to order a whole or a half of beef or some retail beef, you can call my wife Tiffany Ford at 580-303-0341. 303-0341. 303-0341.
We see a lot of kids that have recurrent ear infections, and so we do lots of what we call meringotomy and tube placement. Meringotomy just means making a microscopic incision in the eardrum and then placing a ventilation tube in the eardrum itself that allows for the middle ear space behind the eardrum to not have a negative pressure, which then draws fluid into that space, which then leads to the infection. Those tubes are temporary and they last around a year or so. The procedure is very minimally invasive. No pain afterwards or during the procedure, and it really, really helps both the patients and the parents. I could only imagine my child having an ear infection, you know, every month and crying and having pain issues related to that. So it's a real nice, easy way to take care of that for them. Hi, I'm Dr. Tyson Fisher, and I'm an ear, nose, and throat physician at Great Plains Regional Medical Center. Find the best medicine right here at home.
For an appointment, call 821-5255. That's 821-5255. 5255.
Sean Wilson and Butch Black with the Exploring Energy Show return now.
And we have returned. Thanks to the good folks at American Hose and Supply. When you need a hose or fittings, you don't need it next week. You need it now. I guarantee it. The smallest hose can drop down the shut down the largest operation, no doubt about it. You're not making money if you're shut down. If you're in the oil field or if your agricultural hose is stopping production, you're not making any money. In fact, it's costing you money. When you need it now, contact American Hose and Supply. They're located inside Camrock on South Main Street in Elk City next to Fred's Steakhouse. Call 580-821-4413. 821-4413. Get hose, not hosed. That's American Hose and Supply. Tell Brock Kalk we sent you. It's sustaining Oklahoma's energy resources. Sower. They've got some upcoming educational opportunities that they've added to the calendar. You can go to www.sower.com. Coming up May 24th, they got the chat with the OCC. Join Sower and the Oklahoma Corporation Commission to learn more about Rule 7, reporting non-permitted discharges, spills, etc. So, waste management practices reference chart. Those two small parts of this rule cover issues of operators when discharges or spills in our surface water at any discharge volume. So if you'd like to do that, it's a free workshop. It's a Zoom meeting, 11 a.m. to 12 a.m. on May 24th, but you got to pre-register. Had to get all the links and all that. So that's on SOAR. Chat with OCC May 24th. And then the PHMSA regulatory compliance updates. Altamira going to join houses join forces again with SOAR. Talking about the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions across pipeline facilities. That's going to be June 2nd. This is also a free workshop Zoom meeting from 11 to 12 on June 2nd. So get yourself in for that. And then, of course, on June 16th, the OGI best practices for VOC and methane leak monitoring. That is SOAR Connect is the free app. Get all that information from them as well. So go to SOARok.com, but don't forget the Oklahoma Oil and Gas Expo. They are taking registrations now. The 25th annual, the largest running, the largest oil field expo in the state of Oklahoma, is going to be at the Bennett Event Center October the 13th from 9 a.m. 3 p.m. We'll be a part of that. They'll also have the John C. Godwin Memorial Golf Tournament the day before. So if you're interested in that, get on to OKOilExpo.com or SOAROK.com. All right, back to the business at hand. Oh, yeah. Here we go. The current five-year offshore federal leasing plan, we've talked about that, expires on June 30th with no indication when another plan will be put into place. The U.S. Interior Department has said it will not proceed with any offshore lease sales without a new plan. Okay, about a quarter of the roughly 400 emissions reductions-related bills states passed from 2015 to 2020 made it through Republican legislatures, presenting a possible blueprint for advancing climate legislation in Congress. The volume of crude oil flowing in pipelines from top U.S. shale field to export hubs in the U.S. Gulf Coast could surge to pre-pandemic levels by October, according to analysts, signaling the end of desperate days for some Texas oil pipeline operators. So, there's a 50-50 chance Earth's annual temperature will spike beyond those Paris Agreement goals within the next 5 years, according to a World Meteorological Organization study.
Well, that's just like my weather forecast. Have a 50% chance. It's either will or it won't.
Yeah, you know, it's just so funny that about anybody can say anything, you know what I'm saying. I mean, they can make it.
Well, and that's what they're saying. It either will or it won't. In other words, we don't have a clue, but we'll say 50%, and that puts us right in the middle.
Yeah, we'll just get close. We'll just get
close. We're not wrong that way.
That's it. Back to you, Butch.
Well, let's see. It is 71 degrees outside.
Oh.
Humidity's at 81%. Winds are south at 24, gusts to 30. Dew point's at 65. Today's going to be sunny with a high near 93. South winds 18 to 22, gusts as high as 33. Of course, they're calling today fair and breezy.
Right.
So, tonight we have a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 1. Friday, sunny with a high near 90. North-northeast wind 10 to 17, gusts to 26. Saturday, sunny with a high near 92. Northeast winds 5 to 10. Becoming south-southeast in the afternoon. Sunny and with a high near 91 on Sunday. Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 92. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 97. Wednesday, sunny and hot with a high near 100. So here comes another heat wave. The EU has drafts a $205 billion plan to
wean itself off Russian oil and gas.
Yeah. It's going to wean itself off. But, of course, what they're calling for is European Commission will propose raising its clean energy target for 2030 to 45% from the current 40%. And they want to drop, reduce energy consumption by 13% instead of the current 9%. And they're wanting to combine faster deployment of renewables, greater energy savings, diversification of supplies from international parties, and new tools to accelerate the investment in a bid to replace coal, oil, and natural gas from Russia. They're not replacing it completely. They just want to quit getting it from Russia. So they're willing to spend a lot of money to figure out how to get away from Russian and I'm not sure their pipeline cost them that much.
I agree with that.
But anyway, it's going to cost you more to get away from what you set yourself up to get. So, not too smart on their part. Yeah, imagine that. Well, let's see.
They walk among us.
Stocks are ugly today. They're mainly in the red. There's one or two greens in there. Of course, AEP is down 56 to 99.22. Apache's down 58 to 37.66. Chesapeake's down $1.31 to 84.92. Continental Resources is down $1.04 to 55.27. ConocoPhillips is down 141 to 97.63. Devon is down 96 to 63.69. GE is green. It's up 86 to 73.25. Halliburton is down 56, 34.11. H&P is down $1.26 to 43.13. Liberty Oilfield is down 19 to 13.91. Laredo Petroleum is down 2.94 to 55.12. Magellan Midstream is down 3 pennies, 47.52. OG&E is down 2 cents, 39.11. ONEOK is up 10 cents, 61.88. Panhandle Minerals is down 11 to 3.15. Phillips 66 is down $1.24 to 89.96. Sandridge is down 83 to 17.06. Schlumberger is down 95 to 37.42. And the Williams Company is down 16 to 34.30.
West Texas Intermediate, the only thing green here, it's up 8 cents, 105.79 on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Brent crude oil on the ICE Futures Exchange trading down 51.6, but still trading at 107 even. Telecom crude oil in Japan down 210 yen per kiloliter, and NYMEX natural gas down 15 cents, but still trading at $7.49 per million BTU. Got a couple minutes here, but a 67-foot pipeline rupture in Texas triggered a massive methane plume. This was back in March. But that pipeline rupture, longer than a bowling lane, was responsible for massive release of potent greenhouse gas methane over Texas in March, spewing the equivalent of an annual emissions of 16,000 American cars into the atmosphere, according to the story out of Bloomberg. Photos of the rupture show nearly 67 foot, 20 meters, if you're into that, a long tear along the 16-inch diameter Big Cowboy natural gas pipeline excavated from a dirt road in a remote corner of Texas. The images were obtained through a public information request to the Railroad Commission of Texas, the regulator that oversees oil and gas production in the state. The pipeline operator, a unit of Energy Transfer LP, has said in regulatory filings that the rupture resulted in a release of about 52.15 million cubic feet of gas. The Big Cowboy is part of a vast web of gathering lines in the U.S. that have operated outside the purview of federal authorities because historically they were smaller diameter, low pressure lines deemed less of a risk than the transmission conduits across state boundaries. But the massive gas release in March underscores how the failure of even small parts of the U.S. gas network can have profound consequences for the climate. But even though this rupture, it's still the safest way to transport natural gas.
It is. It
truly by far. Is. It's not even close.
Yeah. Well, here's some good news for the state. Governor Stitt and Congress has passed a bill that will, and it's not going to come out of your pocket like it would if they raised taxes. This is a diversion of diesel tax revenues. But they're estimating there's $3.5 million worth of road repairs needed due to high traffic from oil and gas industry vehicles. And so to do that, they're going to pull $5 million a year out of this tax revenue, and local communities, rural communities can tap into this to do road repairs to help, and that's a good thing because
absolutely bridges and roads definitely need to be maintained.
You've been out there driving those roads, you know how rough they are and the potholes, and so this will make money available to help fix that.
And also Continental hitting again in the stack and scoop thanks to strong early performance in 2022 by its gas wells in the Anadarko Basin. Continental Resources raised its natural gas production guidance. Doug Lawler, Continental's chief operating officer and executive vice president, told investors this month's conference call following the first quarter financial earnings report that the guidance was increased to $1.1 billion from 1.1 to 1.2 billion cubic feet of natural gas a day. Attributed that response to early production from the company's gas wells operating in the scoop and stack plays of the basin. So that's good stuff right there. And it's close to home. Speaking of home, we'll be back at this place tomorrow. We hope you decide to join us. If not, you can catch us on the archives. Thanks to Charlie Burris Mineral Management out of Chickasha. So, again, we appreciate Charlie and all the good folks down that way. Appreciate all of our great sponsors that help make this program possible and our great listeners such as you that make it all worthwhile. For Butch Black, I'm Sean Wilson. Thanks so much for listening. I promise we'll talk again. You're tuned to 96.5 KECO in Elk City. Have yourself a great day.